All right, this morning, take our Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 24, and then we're going to look at one verse in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking at one verse in Hebrews chapter 12, and then our text passage will be Genesis chapter 24. So we'll look at one verse in Hebrews 12. So we're at both extremes in the Bible here this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, and then Genesis 24. There's a poem we'll start out with. I like the man who faces what he must, with step triumphant and a heart of cheer, who fights the daily battle without fear, sees his hope fail, yet keeps unfaltering trust that God is God, that somehow, true and just, his plans work out for mortals. Not a tear is shed when fortune, which the world holds dear, falls from his grasp. He does his best, nor ever murmurs at his humbler lot, but with a smile and words of hope gives zest to every toiler. He alone is great who by a life heroic conquers fate. This morning we're going to look, starting out Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, for consider him, and in the verses before, the person to consider is Jesus Christ. Verse 2, the first three words say, looking unto Jesus. But then in verse 3, for consider him, that is Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This morning we're going to ask the question about ourselves, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Faithfulness, one definition, is exact in attendance to commands. What does that mean, exact in attendance to commands? It means that we regard with the utmost observation what our employer, what our boss says, what our Savior says, what our God says. We are exact in attendance. We observe it wholeheartedly, and then we put what has been told to us, what has been expected of us, we put it to practice. What does this idea give to us today? We're going to look at a man in Genesis chapter 24 who gives us the idea of what exact in attendance to commands means. In Genesis chapter 24, one man put it this way, when the morning's freshness has been replaced by the weariness of midday, when the leg muscles quiver under the strain, the climb seems endless, and suddenly nothing will go quite as you wish, it is then that you must not hesitate, but keep on. Christ was unwilling to give up. He refused to quit. And as a servant of Jesus Christ, if we are going to be successful, we must put our hand to the plow without looking back. We must be steadfast in our perseverance. We must race hard for the tape. We must fight the good fight of faith. All of these things are examples, are little quips that we will tell each other when we're getting weary in well-doing. But the Bible tells us to be faithful to him. The devil loves it when we simply relax our efforts. He has a good day when we become discouraged. There are temptations to overcome. There's disappointments to handle. Personal sins that beset us. Burdens that depress us. And Satan is standing by trying to get us to quit. Trying to get us to not be faithful. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, consider Jesus Christ. And when you want to quit, look at Christ. Look at him who did not give in, who did not settle for less than the best in serving his God, his Heavenly Father. We should consider Jesus Christ so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. There was a famous boxer. His name was James Corbett. James Corbett, when he was the champion of the world in his weight division, was asked what was the most important thing a man must do to become a champion. He answered it in four words. He said, fight one more round. That's what it takes, he said. Fight one more round. The Duke of Wellington said that the British soldiers at the Battle of Waterloo were not any braver than Napoleon's soldiers, but they were braver 5 minutes longer. I'm not saying that you're gonna always be jumping out of bed ready for the fight, but the Bible instructs us to instill in our character faithfulness. Faithfulness. In our text passage, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to look at a servant, and we're going to try to glean four different characteristics that should be found in us if we are going to be considered faithful to Jesus Christ. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would deal with our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we look at this idea of faithfulness. Lord, we may come out on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, maybe we come out on midweek, maybe we even work in some ministries. But Lord, in our hearts, we know that we falter and we have not been faithful to you. Please bring conviction. Help us, Lord, to come away from this morning with a determination to be more faithful to you. Lord, you say in the scriptures it is required of stewards that we be found faithful. Lord, help us to be a church that you can look down and you can call us faithful. Speak to hearts, Lord. Claim your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 24, we're going to look at a couple of thoughts here this morning. Look at verse 1. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I'll make thee swear by the Lord, that the God of heavens and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Here we see the first characteristic. We're going to use the whole passage in Genesis 24. And I was talking to the teens in May about this. I used this as an illustration. And most of them were not willing to go back to this time frame. But here we see that Abraham grabbed his servant and he bestowed an honor upon his servant. What was the honor? It was that Abraham was getting older. Isaac now was of the age where he should get married. And so he called his eldest servant or his most trusted servant, brought him in, made him swear that he would not take. And by swearing, that was taking an oath. He took an oath that he would choose a wife properly. And then he sent this servant out to find him a wife. Now, when I was speaking to the teenagers, they didn't really want to go for that. I was thinking that, hey, you know what, I'd be willing to call a great servant up. We'd send him out, and we would find a wife for thee. All right, and now most of them were not willing to go for that. But here in this time, we know that this was a common practice. But what does this tell you about the servant? This morning, we're going to look at the faithfulness of a servant. This is what most of us consider ourselves. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a servant of the Most High God. Can God trust me? And the first thing you see is that the servant was trusted wholly by his master. I mean, to me, this is a great task. I mean, choosing a wife for his son. I mean, maybe some of you say, that's what happened to me. I got conned too. All right, now, we don't want to get into that. That's another session of counseling that we'll have to deal with if you feel that way. But what we see here is that the servant was trusted wholly by his master. This is a great task given to this servant, that he would go. And we know this later on because we know the story of the Bible. Jesus Christ would come from this line. And God allowed it too. God allowed that Abraham could take a servant that could go out and find a wife for his son. And eventually Jesus Christ would come from this line. What a great honor. What a great responsibility. And you and I should be trusted wholly by our master. Are you faithful enough that God can give you responsibility and he doesn't have to worry about it? It could be as simple as driving a bus. It could be as simple as being there in the nursing home. It could be as simple as going out with the sacred gospel and sharing it with somebody that is unsaved. Our God and Savior has given you a responsibility. Can he trust you with it? Can he trust you to be faithful to your task? Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm limping this morning. You know, I got a little owie, and so I don't think I can drive the bus today. You know, I got an owie. What are you, three? But that's the way some of us act. We act like 3 and 4 and 5 year olds. When it comes to your earthly bosses, you have more faithfulness than to our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Boss, our Master. Can he trust you? Are you faithful to him? Exact in attendance. Exact in attendance. The servant was trusted wholly by his Master. One man put it this way. Once upon a time, now pay attention. Once upon a time, there were 4 men named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was a very important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. But everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, and nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, and nobody did the job that anybody could have done in the first place. Now, is that the excuse you give? You say, well, I thought they would do it. But we play silly games sometimes, and our Savior wants people to be trusted. Are you a servant that can be found faithful to him? Or is it that, oh, you know what, I don't know. We can go into areas of sickness or illness. It could be as simple as a dad in a home. Today, we make a mockery of the family in our society. And as I've said over and over, if you're a dad sitting here and you won't step up to the plate and be the head of your home, then you're a sissy. You're a wuss. And you may not like it, but you shouldn't have been a dad. Give it up. But that is what God, that's what our society is looking at today. We can't find people to be faithful, even in being a dad. Oh, it's so hard. What kind of society do we have that all of a sudden, if you just show up to work, you get a trophy? And you know it's true. You go to some corporate get-togethers and they're like, hey, this person, they have been at work for 5 weeks in a row. Kind of silliness, is it? Now you have to have, you got, and here you are, you walk into Walmart. And man, they gotta have badges. It's like they have a military corps. Because, you know what? This person, and they've got badges lining up their little blue apron. Because man, they are just so faithful to work. That's a sorry sign of our society, isn't it? It should be that as a Christian, we shouldn't say, hey, you know what? I wonder if they're going to show up to church today. I wonder if they're going to be on the bus route. I wonder if they're going to be at soul winning. I'm not saying that we can't have a vacation. I'm not saying that we can't have some time off, but time off from God? But that's what some of us feel like. Some of us say, well, I've been to church for 10 weeks in a row. I just need a break. Well, I'm glad our Savior wasn't like you. They're on the cross when they were, or they're in the, when they were in the courtroom. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head and they were mocking him and they were plucking out his beard. Do you think it hurt a little bit? I think so. But we have a hard time with faithfulness today. We have a hard time with being where we're supposed to be, with doing our duty, because we live in a sissy society. But does that mean, or does that give us an excuse? No, I don't think so. The servant was trusted wholly. Notice, secondly, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11 in our text. Verse 11. So here the servant takes off and he goes. And look at verse 11. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. At the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And notice what he said, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You know what you see? You see that the servant was trusted wholly by his master. But now you see some characteristics of the servant himself. When he was given a job, he took his job seriously. He took his job seriously. How do I know that? Because once he got to the place, he got on his knees. He even made his camels kneel down. And he started calling out to the God of Abraham and saying, God, this is a big task. And so I'm asking your help. I'm asking for you to show kindness upon me and upon my master. You and I should take our job seriously. It doesn't matter what task you are called to do in the area of God's service. It doesn't matter if I'm cleaning up, if I'm dusting the auditorium. It doesn't matter if I'm setting out juice or pouring it on the bus route for the little kids. It doesn't matter if I'm making a verse token. It doesn't matter what responsibility I have that my master has given me. It should be important. Because your Savior, your God, your Heavenly Father has asked you to do it. And some of us take our jobs so flippantly. Right here, it may be that you walked in from Sunday school, and your job today was just to bring a treat for a little child, and they couldn't trust you. You say, well, it's just a little treat. They don't think much of me. But Jesus said that if you cannot even take care of these little ones, it should be that a millstone is wrapped around your neck. I think Jesus cared about the little ones. I think Jesus cared about little details. But we say, no, you know what? If I was appointed king, if I was made a princess, then I would do it. No, you wouldn't. Because you can't even be responsible enough with cookies. And yet you think that you're going to handle some weighty matters? No, you won't. We should take every aspect of our service to God seriously. It should be important to us. Michelangelo was painting the frescoes on the high ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo spent hours on his back, on the scaffolding, carefully perfecting each detail there on those frescoes. A friend one time saw Michelangelo, and he saw the pain that he was in from laying down for countless hours there on that scaffolding. And the friend asked him why he took such pains with those figures. Because, man, that is, it's dozens of feet. It's tens and 20, 30 feet in the air. Nobody is going to notice it. After all, said the friend, who will know whether it's perfect or not? And Michelangelo looked at his friend and said, I will. I will. And in our service to God, it's not just that. It's not just that we know. We know that we're going to be doing some task, and we know that we didn't put our heart into it. It's not just that. It's also that God knows. Why should I take my job seriously? Because God the Father and His Son there in heaven look down over the portals of heaven and they see His servants. And they see if you take your job seriously. How much do you care about the task for which you are asked to do? Maybe it could be as simple as a teenager here. It could be a young person that's in school. And you've been going to school and you know there's more you can do. You know that there's more, whether it's at school, it could be at home, and there's more that you can do. You could take it a little more seriously. Don't you know that if you're a servant of Jesus Christ, that Jesus sees you? That God sees your heart? And do you care about it? Do you care about your service? It should be important. Look at thirdly then. Look at verse 24 in our text. Oh, sorry, verse 10. We're still in that same. Remember, he rose up. He made his camels kneel down. But look at verse 9. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and master and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant, the next verse in verse 10, it says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camel of his master and departed. So we see that the master, the servant, was trusted wholly. We see that the servant took his job seriously. But then in verse 10, what do you notice? That the servant took action immediately. He took action immediately. The only action that some people take in regards to their faithfulness is sitting in a pew. You say, I'm faithful. Yeah, and you know what? You know, there's becoming an impression on the pew there because you never move. Get a little callous. All right, we're going to have to get a crane and pick you up and move you. Why? Because you never take action. You never move. You never are moved to do something for your Savior. And it's a sad plight in our lives when here our Savior is asking us to do something. And you know it. Some of you, it can be that whether it's on the bus route, they can't even rely upon you coming out on Sunday morning. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It just seems hard. I mean, I was there last week. Well, I would challenge you. Why don't you do the same thing in the area of your diet? Why don't you just try to eat every other week? Now, some of you, it would do you good. I'm telling you, some of you, it'd probably do you all right. All right? You'd be half or a third the man you used to be. All right? And you still would probably, all right, we still probably could fit you in half the pew. All right? We still could probably fit you in half the pew. But what we're talking about is being faithful. Being faithful. Take some action. We shouldn't be couch potato Christians. We should be up doing what God tells us to do. And so that does mean coming to church, but it also means going out and doing something for Him. Faithfulness. One area of faithfulness should be that as God tells us to do something, that could be in the area of soul winning. It could be in the area of our testimony and living out our Christianity. Are you only faithful to God on Sunday morning? Oh, how pitiful. We're not faithful to God on Sunday night, and we're not faithful to God during the week. Now, I know our government wants you to be a hypocrite. How do I know that? Well, the government wants you, and in fact, the president has said this. He has said that our religion should not go beyond these walls. Well, I'm sorry that he's a hypocrite. I'm sorry that, and you might get mad. I'm sorry that he doesn't know this much about Christianity. Because my Christianity, my Savior requires me not just to be a Christian in these walls. Otherwise, you are a hypocrite. He might have been raised with a bunch of Pharisees and a bunch of hypocrites, and I'm sorry for that. But it should be that folks in our church should live out their Christianity, not just on Sunday. It should be on Monday that you are exactly the same that you were on Sunday. And it may be that you go to a church, maybe you're visiting, and you go to the church, and the pastor gets up, and he says something on Sunday, and he lives a whole different life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Well, I'm sorry that you have a charlatan in the pulpit. I'm sorry that you have a hypocrite behind the sacred desk. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ calls us to be faithful every day of the week. We should be faithful to God, and we should take action immediately. Now, here's a funny story. There was a girl, this was a number of years ago, I think it was about 10 years ago. Her name was Melody Schick. She was 24 years old. She was sitting, I think it was in Dallas, a Dallas shopping center, a Dallas shopping mall. She sat with a teddy bear cradled in her left arm. There was a revolving platform. This 24-year-old only moved her eyes. And 5 hours and 43 minutes later, she rose. Here she was in a Dallas shopping center, and she was sitting there with her teddy bear for 5 hours and 43 minutes. Well, she was trying to set a world record for sitting still. The old world record was 5 hours and 32 minutes, and she smashed it by 11 minutes. Now, when I read about this world record, I thought of some of you. Because, man, you would smash it. Because for years, on Sunday morning, years. In fact, there's other positions like this. You haven't moved for years. Sometimes the ushers debate. And they're thinking of calling the coroner. They're not sure. Is there movement? Is there life? Is that the only movement? We never become involved in the work of the local church. We criticize the church. There's often movement with our mouth because we can criticize it, but we never participate. Well, mouth movement is not the action we're talking about here. We're talking about getting on our feet. We're talking about living our Christian walk. Living our Christian life, it is seen through the walk that we do. Do we walk the walk Monday through Saturday? Or is it something that we just participate in on Sunday morning? Can you be counted as faithful? Notice lastly, going down to verse 54 in our text now. And I like this. Notice what it says. They did eat and drink. This is the servant. He's there at this house. He finds the wife to be for Isaac, for his master Abraham. They eat and they drink, he and the men that were with them, and they tarried all night. They rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." This is the servant. Notice verse 55, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. Notice what the servant does. Verse 56, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Notice what happens here. And the last thing we see that the master trusted him wholly. He took his job seriously. He takes action immediately. But notice what else? He finishes the job completely. He doesn't do a half-hearted task. And there's even people that'll come to you and say, haven't you done enough? No, you haven't. No, I haven't. I haven't done enough. I'm serving my Savior, and enough will be when I stand before Him in heaven. And our prayer should be that He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How can I get Him to say that? Well, here on this earth, I don't stop. And neither should you. We keep at the task. Some will come and say, hey, come on, just 10 more days. No, no, no. No. Don't hinder me. Don't hinder me. And it's going to be that some people will come and they will try. Satan wants to stop you in your faithfulness. He wants to get you not to finish your job. And it could be as a parent here this morning, as a mom or as a dad, that somebody has come, or maybe it's the devil and he's whispered in your ear, hey, just take a break. Turn to the devil. Say, hinder me not. It could be that in the area of your soul winning, it could be in the area of your nursing home or ministry, whatever it may be, it could be on the bus route, and you say, man, we just came through the full push. Hey, you know what? I should be able to take a break. Turn to the devil and say, hinder me not. We need to keep at it. We need to complete our task. Can God count you to be faithful? It amazes me how many people can't be counted on in today's society. They can't be counted on. Their word is nothing. Some people say, oh, and you've probably had someone like that. It could be at work, or it could be a relative, and they say, hey, we'll be there. And everybody just looks and snickers. Is that you when it comes to the Savior? Could it be that we could go up to heaven and we could be there with God the Father and God the Son, and He brings the angels forward and He starts talking, and just like with Job, He says, hast thou considered my servant? And you put your name there. Will the angels snicker? Will the devil say, oh yeah, he's faithful. Sure, Lord, knowing that you're a blight to the Savior. Knowing that you're a mockery. Remember David, when he committed that immoral act and Nathan came before him and he said, thou art the man, David. David, you committed the sin and now you have given cause for the Lord's enemies to mock. Are you a mockery to Christianity? Because you can't be faithful. You go back and you say, yeah, I was at church. Oh, yeah, I know the word. Oh, my kids know this, man. There is a guy that is one of the worst drunks that I've ever met in my life. And I don't know why, but that guy knows so much Bible. It's pitiful. So my kids will come back sometimes after visiting and they'll say, oh, so-and-so was there and he was soused And I'm telling you, he can quote more scripture than some of you. And you know what it is? It's a mockery. It's a mockery. And some of you, the reason that your kids snicker when it comes to the things of God. Some of you, the reason that others snicker when it comes to the things of God is because you have not been found faithful. You can't finish your job completely. How many little things get in the way of us finishing a job? We can find excuses why we don't follow God completely when he gives us a command. Over and over again, when it comes to our families, parents give excuses for failure. But when you face the Lord, your mommy is not going to be standing there with you. Mommy's not going to be able to go before the teacher and say, no, they had the sniffles. Oh, no, you don't understand. It was just a really bad night. No, mommy ain't going to be there. You will stand there before the Lord and give an account of your stewardship. What is faithfulness? George Mueller prayed for 52 years for a certain friend to come to Christ. And after 52 years, he came to Christ. A Welsh postman had the British Empire Medal conferred upon him by Queen Elizabeth. He had not missed a day of work in 43 years. There is a man named Paul Derelick. He was a chemist. He performed 605 unsuccessful experiments, and then on the 606th, he had success. When it comes to your Christian walk, when it comes to your Christian life, what makes you stop? Are you faithful to God? During the Korean War, there was a man that buried himself in the muck and mud of pig's sly or pigsty. He buried himself in this pigsty except for his nose and his mouth, because he didn't want to give away his position and he didn't want his buddies to be killed. And he stayed there buried for 8 days and nights rather than betray his buddies and surrender to the enemy. Now, I'm not saying that you got to get in pigsty. Most of us don't have a lot of things that are really tough that are holding us back. It's really sometimes really simple things and really silly things, frivolous things that keep us from being faithful to God. This week, have you been faithful? If you're a young person, it could be you're an older person. Have you been faithful in reading God's Word? Or is it this Sunday morning you got up and you're like, oh, when God can't count on you? Do you know what this cost, the Word of God to come to us? Do you know that blood was spilt, human blood, so that you could have this precious Word of God and you just treat it flippantly? It's not even worth picking it up. You don't even have to barely get out of bed. You just got to reach over and open up your Bible. And we can't even do that. We can't even pray for one another. Somebody comes up and they have an ailment or they have an illness. Can our church count on you to pray for them? Oh, I forgot. So-and-so, they're still sick? Yeah, they are. And they need you to pray for them. God wants us to be faithful. Aren't you glad that Christ was faithful in dying for us? And now he lives and he's faithful, sitting there on the right hand of the Father, and he's faithful to intercede for you and I. We have a faithful Savior. Why don't we be faithful servants? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, preaching.